Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. Excuse me. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome to the show Jeremy Kubitschek. Now, Seth Godin, we all know who Seth Godin is, says Jeremy Kubitschek clearly shares what so many influential leaders have come to know. There's a huge difference between authority and responsibility and between influence and power. So Jeremy is what would be termed an outlier in the leadership world. We're going to be talking a lot about leadership today, so stay tuned and take notes. He is an entrepreneur and a corporate thought leader, as well as an audacious encourager to leaders around the world. He is a creative producer of a variety, a ton, go to his website, of leadership content and global programs, as well as an acclaimed speaker and author. Excuse me. Going to be one of those days. As an entrepreneur, he has formed, partnered with, and started over 20 entities since 2002 that have either been sold or continue to run. And he and his partner have released their new book, which is on my desk right now, 100 Time Leader. He is also the CEO of Giant TV. So today, stay with us and learn why we don't have a shortage of leaders. We have a shortage of healthy leaders who know how to multiply. Jeremy, welcome to Your Part in Success Radio. I've got your book. I'm loving it. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, so good to be with you all and excited to spend time with you guys and encourage and help in any way.
Well, I love what you say that we don't have a shortage of leaders. Look, you cannot throw a stick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, the internet and find somebody who is terming themselves a leader. That's on the internet. You know, there's different leaders who are leading, you know, virtually, and then there's leaders who are, you know, leading in the home. I mean, we all lead at some point. I really want you to explain to us what healthy leaders are who know how to multiply, because I think once we find healthy leaders who are doing it properly, we almost need to clone them. And I think that's what your book is talking about.
That really is. I've not actually thought of it in the term of cloning, but that really is it. The idea is that most leaders in the world are, if you use 40, 60, 75, or 100, 100% becomes the healthy. They're the leaders that are just healthy in general, not perfect, just healthy. And then you've got division, subtraction, adding, and multiplying, X. So 100X leader is someone who's 100% healthy and multiplying themselves. Most of the leaders in the world that we found are between 60 negative and 75 plus at best. And 60 negative is that generally I'm just, I'm kind of jaded. I'm kind of burned out. And then when you're around me, I kind of subtract or suck the life out of you. Or 75 plus is, hey, yeah, things are going well. You know, things could get better, but generally I'm okay. And if you need anything, my door is always open. At best, most leaders are there. My door is always open, meaning you can come to me, and if I have time, I'll share anything that you need. I'll add value to you. And we make the case that's not good enough, which sounds like, what? Look, the 100X leader, they're so healthy that they actually are proactively trying to help you get healthy and help you transfer knowledge, wisdom, and skills into other people. And it's a different type of leader that just a small percentage of them are on the world population.
Right. And exactly something you just said about, I think it was a 75, if I have time, I'll help you. And my eyebrows went up. Yeah, my instinct was, what? What do you mean if you have time? Mm-hmm. So is that what you're finding people saying? You know, you're all around a great guy, but make time for me. This is important.
Well, yeah, because I think you think about leadership. The problem with the term leadership is it's such jargon. And so we've actually taken the idea of the Sherpa on Mount Everest to help make that come alive a little bit more. So the idea of a Sherpa or a guide on Mount Everest is, look, the Sherpa are a people group, and they're actually acclimated because they were born at 14,000 feet. So if I took you on Mount Everest and I was a Sherpa, I could handle the altitude more than you or more than anyone, me or anyone else, because we're lowlanders, right? The Sherpa were born at that level. So they're acclimated to a higher level of leadership on the mountain. But their goal is to help get you up the mountain. And I think that's what leadership is. Leadership is basically being acclimated and healthy enough to do your own job, but then being healthy enough and proactive about helping others do their job and get to the next level. So it's that combination together that has to happen. And what I mean by 75 plus leaders is most people are barely able to do their own jobs, and they'll help you if you need advice, but they're not, most leaders aren't sitting there thinking, okay, how do I get them to the next level? What's undermining their influence? Do I know their personality and their wiring? And how it's like, it's not trained, it's not taught, it's not a part of our normal work life.
And see, that was going to be my next question. I mean, it's one thing to identify that these problems exist, but do you instinctively know how to do these things? Like, we can talk about emotional IQ all day long. Or is there training? And I'm assuming from your book that there is training to help you with that mindset, because everything we do is a mindset. Oh, I'm too tired, I don't have time. I'll try to help you as best as I can, but look, I got to go. You know, I've got an event to go to. Hurry it up, let's go. But the mindset, I'm thinking, is that you do take it home and you start to dig in it, and you're like, well, how can I help this person? How can I get them to the summit? Is that a fair summation?
Absolutely, because it's a part personality, and that certain people, personalities, are going to do it differently and think differently about leading other people. But then it's also a part of your upbringing. So if I didn't have a parent who really spent time with me, okay, that might affect me. If I didn't have a boss who was proactive, if I had a boss who was always dominating and yelling, and so I might not come to value it as much. So part of it is we're trying to actually show people, first, it's mindset. Becoming intentional versus accidental. So let me give you an example. If you take the five circles of influence, which are self, family, team, organization, and community, in those five circles, I might be very accidental in the way that I lead myself, or I might be intentional in the way I lead myself, what I eat, when I sleep, what I listen to, all those kinds of things. Family, I could be an accidental dad, or I can be an intentional dad. I find that most parents are accidental, for instance. They just don't realize it. They haven't thought about it. So all of a sudden when they realize, oh my goodness, yeah, I could be more intentional with my family. Well, what are the tools, which comes next? So partly it's mindset and partly it's tools. So to climb the mountain, you have to have the mindset that my job is to help other people get up to the next level. Now, the tools, which is what we put in the book, we use common language and visual tools. Because now these tools like a rope, a ladder, a ice pick, crampons, all the things you need to climb Mount Everest, those are the same types of tools just put into a leadership vernacular that we're trying to help people. So you hit it. Mindset and tools are really important.
Well, I think a lot, and I love the fact that you're using accidental. I've lived way too much of my life just being accidental. And then responding sometimes not well, because all of a sudden you're pushed up against a wall. You're not entirely sure how you got there, but it doesn't feel right. So that mindset, I think, is so, so important. You know, how you're going to start your day, how you're going to react or not react to people. You know, you have to, I think, stand back, take a breath, and dig into your resources, and then start training yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which kind of sucks, because it's just easy to meander through life. You know? It's just like, oh.
Oh, it's much easier. I always use this analogy. As most people have had a dog or a pet of some, or a cat or whatever. But for a dog training, let's just say, and I know you have a cat, but let's just say for the dog trainers, is it accidentally training your dog versus intentionally training your dog? It's much easier to accidentally train your dog. Means don't really train them. But the ramifications are horrible long term. But it's a lot harder to intentionally train your dog, but it's better. A year from now, you'd be glad you did. And it's the same thing with people, and same thing with leading and family. It's a lot of work. That's why most people don't do it. And so, but once you do, And once you get good at it and you start learning the art and science of actually multiplying team members and people and investing in them, it actually is so fulfilling because now you're seeing your multiplication happen. And it was about 8 to 9 years ago, I decided to move from a plus guy. I was probably about an 85 plus person, leader, probably one of the better leader. That sounds cocky. I don't mean that. But I mean, like, I was healthy, but I was a plus guy. And all of a sudden, I moved to an X, and I went all the way down. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the tools. I don't know how to multiply myself into people. I don't even know what that looks like. And I started watching other people who are 100X people, and it was a game changer. So now I have a team and my family, my team, and I'm not perfect. I'm working on being a Sherpa for them. I'm working on being that intentional in this whole idea of multiplication.
And see, that leads me to two things. I almost interrupted you because one of them is one that I was going to ask, and then the other one I added on. But one thing that I was thinking while you were talking is that you really have to start with yourself. You have to lead by example, which means that the training and the comprehension and the work or hard work, whatever it's going to appear to you as, maybe it's hard work, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just time and you're ready to really dive into it. But it really does start with you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And we use a tool. So here's one I'll give the audience, all of you listening. It's a, every one of our tools are simple enough for a 13-year-old to get because we want to be able to make it scale and multiply. So we realize that most adults are cynical know-it-alls and don't read anymore. So if that's the case, then we've got to create visual tools that people can latch onto and really get some gold nuggets quickly and then pass it on to other people. So this one's called the Support Challenge Matrix. You just picture four quadrants and kind of a matrices of an X and Y line where you've got high support at the top, low support at the bottom, high challenge on the right, low challenge on the left. So the best leaders in the world, the 100X leaders, basically have learned how to bring high support and high challenge at the same time. That's a liberating style of leadership. So the verb is to liberate. It means you bring freedom and opportunity and growth into people's lives. And you help kind of light the fire inside of them instead of having to light a fire underneath them. And someone who's always lighting fires underneath people would be high challenge and low support. So they're using fear, manipulation, and kind of like, pull your head out, get to the next level, you know, yelling. And that's a dominating verb. That's the tendency to dominate people, and it turns them red. It's browbeating people to try to get results. Then if you have low support and low challenge, that's abdication. So abdicating leaders and abdicating, they're just tired. I'm retiring. I'm worn out. I'm jaded. Low support, low challenge. And then the top left corner is high support but low challenge. So a lot of rah-rah, a lot of kind of entitlement. But I'm hinting a lot, but I'm not sharing my expectations. And that's a protecting verb. They protect. So the whole idea of high support and high challenge means that I'm fighting for your highest possible good. I'm always looking, what do you need right now? Do you need more support or do you need more challenge? Where are you undermining your influence? And do I have the guts to tell you? And how do I help you get to the next level? That is what a 100X leader does because they have so much people want to follow them, not have to follow them. And that's one of the key tools that we use. But then you can use that tool and scatterplot yourself through the five circles. What about yourself? Some people, and I know I have a tendency historically, is I actually dominate myself. I bring high challenge to myself, but I bring very low support to myself. So therefore, that domination has long-term negative ramifications.
Oh, now you're speaking my language. It's sad. I mean, you know, you said seriously, I completely understand what you're talking about. And I was going through the book going, was he interviewing me for some of this stuff? Like, and it wasn't the good stuff. I have to let you know. It's like, oh, geez, I need work. but isn't that the challenge to all, you know, look at something and go, oh, geez, you know, I recognize way too much of myself in this. Oh, I'm good over here. Okay, but recognize that you really can train your mindset, your instincts. You know, your instincts can help you or they can go against you. You can train all of that if you're just consistent with it. And I think more importantly, recognize a deep need to do so. And maybe that's where people just kind of go, looks like a lot of work. I'll get to it tomorrow.
That's right. That's absolutely it. And it's not bad intent. That's what we're saying. When I say we need more of, we don't need more leaders, we need more of the right kind of leaders. It's not, we're saying that sometimes the title leader, and if you have someone that you have to follow, it makes leadership as a whole, people become cynical to it because they're experiencing hypocrisy. It doesn't mean you mean to be hypocritical, or I mean to be hypocritical, but sometimes my words and my actions don't match. So I have a credibility gap or an integrity gap. And all we're trying to do is bring attention to it. But actually, more than that, we're trying to actually train people on the tool. So it's almost like wake up to a new mindset of being intentional and not accidental. That right there is a game changer for a lot of people. Okay, I locked that
in.
What do I do? Yeah, keep going.
No, I'm sorry. It's just that this, I'm glad we're talking about this accidental and be intentional, because I've been doing a lot of work on myself for that, because it's easy to be accidental. You just, I'm going to get up. I'm going to wander into the kitchen. I'm going to do this. And I've had to set morning, set morning wake-up rituals, you know, morning habits that become skills. You know, you work at it long enough, you're not going to fall down off that bike anymore type of thing. You just keep repetitive, you know, repetitive actions that all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got it. So I've been working a lot on that. But what I'm finding is, and I've got so much I want to ask you, my mind is kind of scattershotting, so bear with me here.
No.
But what I'm finding is that if I'm not intentional, nothing gets done. And I'm also finding that now that I really am working on becoming intentional, I'm being led to other people, other 100X leaders who are very intentional. But you know what I find about them? They all admit that they weren't always this way. They had to learn
Absolutely.
It. So it could be instinctive for some people, but we all have to keep going, right?
Yeah, and I just don't think it is instinctive. I mean, maybe one area, but I do think there are patterns that we all have. So we have a tool called Know Yourself to Lead Yourself. So the idea is if you can really know yourself and begin to lead yourself, then other people will see it and they'll want to follow you. So your influence goes up, right? But the process of that, the journey is really hard because you have to know your tendencies and call them out and go, you know what? I have a tendency to be lackadaisical here. I have a tendency to get angry here. I have a tendency to whatever it is. Those tendencies will never change your entire life. They're locked in. They will never, ever change. And when you realize that, it gives yourself grace. The patterns and the actions, that the outcomes of those tendencies can change. And you can change the pattern. So like, for instance, I have a tendency to be defensive. I'm really good at it, at being defensive, okay? It comes from a long-standing insecurity that's in me. Well, you know what? I just recognize it, and this is what, it is what it is. It will never change. I'll always have that tendency. But now, instead of becoming defensive, I have a choice. I could either respond with defensiveness, my pattern is to do that, or I can actually ask one more clarifying question. And so I've been training myself on my tendency with a different pattern and a different action, and I'm noticing my consequences are changing, my outcomes are changing, which then shapes a different reality in relationships or what have you. So that is the work that we're talking about. We're talking about on the mountain of leadership or life, it's hard. And you actually, the higher you go, the more you die. And it's a good thing because you're actually going, okay, I know myself here. I know this is the traditional outcome. I'm just going to change the pattern. I'm going to experiment to see if I can get a different outcome. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm sitting here going, he's talking about me again. I am very defensive. I always have been. I always will be. But I have trained myself to back off, settle down, don't respond right away, let it sit. Sometimes it doesn't deserve a response. Sometimes I'm like, okay, ask that clarifying question, although I didn't realize that's what I was doing. And other times I'm like, meh, 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 and I call a friend and complain about it. And out of that conversation comes a moment where you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. So I have had to train myself not to jump back and go, oh, yeah, bring it. So, and that's tough to do when, you know, you're kind of a badass, right? I mean, it's just, that's what you do.
Well, and the best leaders in the world, they actually call out, they recognize their tendencies, and they actually start creating a tendency list so they can start leading themselves on it. But a lot of people will look at that list and they'll go, you're such a loser. What an idiot. That's dominating yourself. So instead, you're like, yeah, I do that. That's right. Okay, now what am I going to do about it? And that's the difference between that's a healthy leader. Hey, I have a tendency here. I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to trade up. And that's a terminology we use in Giant. So I'm going to trade up. Instead of doing this, I'm going to trade up to this level. And I'm going to call myself up. I'm not going to call myself out. And by calling yourself up to this is who you really are, that's all right. Yeah, you didn't need that donut here, did you? That's right. Trade up to the apple or whatever it is, right? So what you're doing now is you're learning to go recognize your patterns and then create a different action. And when you start leading yourself, everyone else watches that and notices it, and it builds credibility. So then they'll let you come help them, because you're basically just sharing your own growth, your own journey. And
exactly.
It's real because they see it.
Yeah, you're leading by example. I've always said this. You know, I don't belong to a church. I never will be. I don't want to be yacked at, talked at, exhorted. You know, just lead by example. I'll follow you if you lead by example and I like your example. And, you know, I feel that way about government entities. I feel that way about any large group of people. I just don't tend to trust large group of people. But what I have found is that and I talk a lot, Jeremy, about the know, like, and trust economy. It's important. That's where we're at right now. If you don't know yourself, like yourself, or trust yourself, what the heck are you bringing to the table? So my attitude about this is we are a constant, and I do mean constant, moment by moment, breath by breath, work in progress. And you can always stop, take a moment, and go, well, that didn't work very well. But and I love this tendency. I hadn't even thought about that. But while I'm listening to you talk, I'm kind of charting my morning already and going, ooh, I just identified 3. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. So guess what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the day? I will be following myself around.
Well, and that's why we use these tools. So you take these, and in the book, we have like, I don't know, 7, 8 tools to help up the mountain. There's more that we have. We have about 50 overall. But 2 of the tools, Know Yourself, Lead Yourself, and Support Challenge Matrix, maybe add 3, 5 circles of influence. Those 3 you can mash up and you can play for a year. Because what you do is you go, okay, now I'm going to move into the team dynamic. You know, I might find that I dominate one person and I protect another person all in the same day. Huh, why do I do that? Oh, okay, I like this person. I don't like, you know, whatever it might be. So now you start noticing your tendencies. I roll my eyes. And when I roll my eyes, that creates a consequence that shapes this reality with this group of people or this person. So what it does now is it's not to drive you crazy on yourself, but it's to give you the opportunity to look in the mirror and see the broccoli that you have in your teeth and actually go, how long has that been there? 24 years. Like, why didn't someone tell me, you know? And whenever you can begin to remove your own broccoli, your influence just goes up immensely. And then you can help other people get broccoli out of their teeth. But the beauty of the tools are like mirrors. It's not me subjectively telling you where you're wrong. I just hold up the mirror and I say, hey, here's what I learned about myself. Where are you at? They then look at the mirror and then you become a Sherpa to help get that broccoli out of their teeth or help them get to the next level.
And see, that is brilliant. So basically, if you are willing to, we're all leaders. We're leaders in our own home. We can live alone, and we're still a leader, right? Or we should be a leader. We should be leading ourselves. So what are some examples that you can share for people who just, they're like, okay, this is the first I've heard of this. I haven't really consciously thought about leading an accidental life or a purposeful life or, you know, being very, very healthy. in how I approach my daily life. Do you have any examples that you can share with people? Let's start with somebody who's just never heard of this. They just don't have a clue what we're talking about. They're interested, but they're like, okay, but where do I go? How do I start?
Yeah, so it starts with time. You just go, okay, take your calendar and look at a day. And in fact, think back to yesterday. What if we had a drone following you all day, and we sit down with some of your closest friends and family members and watched what you did yesterday? How much of your life would have been intentional and how much would have been accidental? And where are the areas that you'd circle and go, huh, yep, I did it again, didn't I? That's my tendency. I blew up or I used a grenade launcher here, or I interrogated this person, or where was the stress that took place? So what we're doing is we're basically giving you the chance to review your calendar and go, how intentional were you and how accidental were you? So if you just start with that process in a given day, that gets you started. Then you start understanding, take three people that were in your life yesterday and go, did they know that I'm for them? Do they feel like I'm for myself, or do they think I'm against them with my actions? What does support even look like for that person? And what does challenge look like for that person? And how well am I doing with my support and my challenge to those three people? You take those two exercises, and again, that's a month's work of personal work, because you start analyzing and thinking in ways that you've never thought before.
So they should have a piece of paper in front of them and really kind of, I don't even know where to start. So is there anywhere in your book that maybe has a graph or something that, because I know you have a lot of different material in the book.
Well, the book is basically designed around the leader, the team, and culture. There's three sections.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first section, it's all about the leader. So the easiest way there's a graph. It's the support challenge matrix graph. You can take that graph, put it on a piece of paper, just draw it on a piece of paper, and you basically have sections. And then we call it the scatter plot exercise, where you basically go to people in your life and go, hey, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Which is really bold, by the way. And it can be very, very uncomfortable. It can be really, really powerful too. And we've had people, so we had, let me just say one story of an executive inside a large utility company in the United States. And he went to his son and realized he was being a dominator to his son. And when he saw it, he's like, I bet you I am. So he goes to his wife to try to explain, hey, I think I'm going to go to my son. He was thinking he was a liberator to his wife, and his wife pointed out that he was abdicating to her. And she really wished, and it was just like, what? And when she explained it, he was like, I am. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to be. So then he took it to his son. He goes, where do you think I am? And the son's like, I'm scared to tell you. And he goes,
Oh, no.
I'm dominating. He goes, because I'm dominating you, aren't I? And this was about 2 years ago. Okay, so he goes, yes, totally. He goes, so what do I need to do, son, to bring support to you? And the son, the dad was a coach as well for football. And he said, well, I don't think you value the fact that I'm playing music and that you want me to be playing football, but I'm in music. And I don't. So the dad, this was crazy. I'm not recommending you have to do this, but the dad actually quit as a coach and went on to be a groupie roadie. Roadie is a better word. Roadie for his son, and did on their concerts. He carried their equipment. He just sent me his son's new album on Spotify, and he just wrote me this little note that says, that changed my life and the trajectory of my family forever. Thank you. Simply because he scatterplotted himself with his son and also with his wife, and he made it a goal of, I want to be a liberating leader. I want to be 100X. I want to bring high support and high challenge. How do I do that to these different personalities in my family?
And see, I mean, that sounds like an extreme, maybe an extreme version, but isn't that what it takes, really? You have to really kind of drill down, whether it's you by yourself or you have a family, children, a business, whatever it is. You have to really do some maybe sad homework and find out what it is that you're really doing. I mean, I'm listening to that going, ow, 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 but look how well it worked out.
Yeah. Well, if you're giving yourself grace to go, look, I want to be a leader. I want to be that leader that I never knew, that I've always wanted to be, but I didn't know how to become. And that was me. Like, I was at 75 plus going, okay, I've read all the books. I've gone to these conferences. I've done all this stuff, and I want to get the next level. The next level, it is painful. And that's why most people don't do it, because there's death involved. You actually have to die to certain tendencies, and you have to be willing to press into, we call it self-preservation questions. What am I afraid of losing? What am I trying to hide? And what am I trying to prove? And that's usually the limiters. I put that in the book. Those are the limitations of why most people don't climb to the next level, or they have some inhibition in them or prohibition feeling in them. So we go in and press into the fear. Fear and pride are the major issues in our world. So to go, if I can get past that, it's like this big wave coming at me. Well, instead of running away from it, the best way to deal with the wave is to duck dive and go right into it, and you'll come out the other side faster. So that's what we're giving people, the tools and the language all throughout the 100X book. And then we've created Giant TV, which is basically where people can binge watch episodes on this type of thinking, so that you can actually work on yourself in a very, very easy way.
Now, I have to ask you, because you mentioned this earlier, you took your own dive into this. Do you feel like telling us why? What was there a catalyst? Was it just maybe kind of a general sense of unease that you weren't living your best life, that, you know, things were maybe not the way you thought they would be? What sent you down this path? I'm deeply curious.
Yeah, when I was in 2002, I was 30 years old, and I decided, my wife and I, we decided to go into vacation to Cancun. We get down there, and it's in September, and if you know anything about that area, hurricanes like to visit Cancun at that same time.
And so, I live in Hurricane Alley. I know all about them.
That's why it's so cheap in September. Anyway, so Hurricane Isidore, Category 3, hit Cancun. We were stuck in it. My wife and I got hit by a drunk driver in the hurricane. And he was joyriding in a hurricane, of all things. And he just slammed right into us. And I basically was seconds away from losing my life. It was almost a tragedy. And it wiped us out and basically started over. And I had an opportunity to go, you know what? Almost like I died and I get to have another life. I'm like, all right, that was my first 32 years, actually. What's the next season look like? So it was a game changer, and it did. It affected the way that we see the world, the way we think, all of it. And so I had I was paralyzed from the waist down for a small seat. I mean, I had some crazy things happen. So it affected me, and I'm not paralyzed now, but I had some lots of rehabilitation. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm gonna lead in a different way. And at the same time, I became a really good 75 plus leader. And then I started realizing, you know what, there's actually another way. I don't know how to do this. So I started watching people. And my business partner, Steve Cockrum, and other leaders who had done a really good job of multiplication. And I started realizing that skill set that I didn't have. But I was a really good dad. It was really interesting. I was really good in self and family, but I wasn't as strong in the team component of multiplying people. So I started learning how to transfer it from one circle of influence into another. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this is a system. Like, people can learn this and it can happen, but you're going to have a different skill set. But like you said, you're going to have a different mindset, and you're going to have to learn new tools to get from the journey from 75 to 100 is doable. The journey from a plus to X is doable, but it's a lot harder, because you have to learn how to multiply and lead differently. So there's the reason why.
That's a pretty amazing story. You've had a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah, I've had a crazy life, and I've lived in a lot of weird places, and that's why I've been around. I mean, I lived in Moscow 2 years after the fall of the Soviet Union, and I got to observe what domination looked like for 70 years in people and how it forced them to abdicate. So I've been in private equity. I've done just a lot of different businesses, and so I've seen a lot of different nuances of people, and that's why, for me, I realized strategy is important. Capital is important. But people either make strategy and capital happen or they don't. So people are either an asset or liability. And so people is really where I focused. And I just started watching and observing people, and myself included, going, huh, I do this. I bet you do too. And finding out people did, and then giving them actual tools to make it simple and scale. And that's where there's a lot of great content out there, a lot of heady content. Harvard is amazing. Enneagram is amazing. But those types of things don't scale to the majority of the people. So other people don't get to play. So.
And I think self-education really is where we're going now. You know, education is very, very difficult to pay for. It really
right.
is. I mean, we're all aware of the student loan crisis. I mean, I paid mine off, thank goodness, but holy cow. And, you know, it's just, if you have the bandwidth and the need and the thirst to self-educate, I think you're just further ahead than most people. So that being said, I wanted to go, I've got the book open, excuse me, and I'm on the self-circle where you're talking about the Sherpas. You know, what you said, as we wrote this book, we studied in depth the mental preparation, and we've been talking about that, of extreme climbers and the Sherpa in particular. And there's a couple of quotes here that I'd like you to talk about, if you don't mind. One of them is, and these are the Sherpas speaking, "We always think positive. There are no negative things." Now, I know that sounds really impossible to a lot of people. It's difficult for me, although I do tend to stop and go, "Really, Denise? What the heck were you just thinking? Knock it off."
Mm-hmm.
In the Deep South, we call that stinking thinking. Just don't do it. And you have to catch yourself at it. I mean, it's and it's one of those tendencies that we've been talking about. I think we all do it. I think it's probably the easiest thing that we all
do.
You know, "Oh, I've got a headache." Well, guess what? 5 minutes later, you've got a whopping headache. "Oh, I don't feel good today." Well, duh. Guess what you just did to yourself? So stop in the – and I've trained myself to stop and, you know, go, no.
Yep.
I didn't like that thought. That doesn't work for me. No stinking thinking allowed here. So let's talk a bit about that mindset, because it does sound impossible to do. It's not. We always think positive. There are no negative things. Can you expand on that just a bit?
Yeah, so if you think about climbing, and I've talked to a lot of the Sherpas, what they have is they have a different view of the mountain than the Westerners who are coming are there. Because to them, the mountain is their god, and it's actually the queen mother of gods in their religion. So therefore, when you're climbing the mountain, most that are there are thinking human performance. Get to the top, take the picture, make it back down alive. The Sherpa are thinking differently. And so that's why I like the analogy to go, what would happen if you're a 100X leader? All of us have the same realities, but what would it look like to trade up? Well, right now I'm working on myself to think, what would it look like if I saw every trial as an upgrade? Like every issue, circumstance, every frustration as an upgrade. Like, what would have to happen? So I'm trying right now to trade up. Well, that's part of the game. I don't know how to do it. I'm working on it. I'm looking and listening to other people. But what I'm realizing is, in everything you can learn. So instead of running away from circumstances or issues, I'm actually trying to turn and face them and run towards them. And to some degree, I'm actually, if you think about the wave analogy again, the best way to deal with a wave is actually to run towards or to go out to when it's a smaller wave, then wait for it to become a bigger wave. And so that's the type of mentality that we're trying to convey to people. But we recognize it's really hard. So we're not mitigating that it's not hard, but by actually thinking on it, you actually can start seeing progress, and you start, the word we use is acclimating. So you start acclimating to the higher levels of leadership, then you can live at higher altitude when there's less oxygen. Well, that just means there's reps and called experience and wisdom and time.
Okay, you've mentioned that to grow, and you excuse me, I'm losing my voice and my keyboard just shut down. We're having fun here. It's just like one of those days already. You've mentioned you have to die a bit, and I know people are going, what in the heck is he talking about? Let's dive into that, because you're right. I mean, we have to kill off some tendencies, or at least put them in a closet. At the very least, we have to recognize them and mitigate them. So can you explain what you mean by some of this growth is like a little mini death?
Yeah, I mean, when you're climbing Mount Everest, I don't know if anyone knows this, but you're actually dying, because your body is, the higher you go up the mountain, there's one place called the death zone, and there was 10, 11 people who have died there this year alone.
Yeah, it's rough
and
up there.
It's been rough because they've had the wrong Sherpa. I mean, it's partly been that they didn't have Sherpas. There was other guides, and there was too many people, and it's just a tough place. But the idea is you only have 48 hours at higher altitudes because your body is actually literally dying. So if you take the analogy into certain things to go, you know what, I'm going to have to die to my pride that I don't actually know how to multiply people. So I got to that place where I had to say that out loud. I really don't know, how do I multiply? What I mean about multiply is to intentionally slow down, to speed up, to transfer knowledge, wisdom, and skills into other people. There was a point in my life where I was like, I don't know how to lead my kids at the levels that I want. Well, so I went to work on it. And now when my kids turn 16, I have three. My youngest one is 17. I do a 2-year apprenticeship track with my kids based on their personality from 16 to 18 years old. It's not that hard, actually. It was hard to get there, but now what I do is each week I kind of have a tool and a conversation. And my daughter, I take her on some dates. We go on to talk about her college choices, and I wrap it all into a kind of a 2-year plan based on her wiring. It sounds like a lot of work and a little hard, and it's hard. I mean, you got to set it up right in the beginning. But my point was that I had to realize that I didn't know what I was doing and be okay with it, and then go, but I'm going to figure it out. And that's when the growth happens, and that's when the opportunities. But I had to die to certain habits and certain way of thinking and certain selfishness and start looking at people going, I'm going to be a Sherpa for them. And that's just a different way of living.
So, Jeremy, this is not necessarily for business people or solopreneurs. It can also be a parenting tool.
Absolutely. Yeah, people are using
that.
The 100X system for parenting, and we get that all the time. We made our tools applicable because, especially in today's age and in the next generation, there's not a compartmentalization. Facebook and Instagram and all of that, it mixes everything. So text message, we're all on in every circle. When you're at work, you've got home influencing coming in to our life like it's never happened before. Once we get to 5G, it will be even more so. Just the speed of content and messaging and everything else that's happening. So we're like, hey, let's just realize that's reality and let's do something about it. Let's actually use tools that can work at home and at work.
Look, I have long said you can't really separate work from home. You just can't. Let's say you're in a job. The last job I had was, gosh, a decade or better ago. I was still going to, was going to night school to get my computer science degree. I was working during the day. You know, I had shut down my most recent business, and I just got a job because I needed the income. I hated it. Man, I was there for a year and one day, and, oh, I hated it. And when I got home, I was still married at the time, I'd hit that door, and I was on the phone with one of my coworkers who also hated it. We were the hallway home. I would get home, and my poor now former husband, I just at him. And then finally, he would do the timeout, so I was like, it's my turn, because he hated his job, too. It all bled over. I mean, it's just, and that was 10 or more years ago, but nothing has really changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all bring it home if we're working outside of the home. If we're working in mm-hmm. the home, it can even be worse because you can't get away from it. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. and you're right. I mean, the constant speed of bombardment that we are under is another choice, isn't it? That we have to make the choice to put that cell phone down. Look, I've got a rule in my house. If you come over, I'm cooking dinner, or it's a holiday, there's a gathering, turn them off or leave them in the car if you can't ignore it.
That's right.
Do not bring that stuff in my home. But don't
well,
we make, don't we have
that
to make those decisions?
When I'm having a meal at your home.
Yeah. Yeah, come on down for gumbo, but you leave that phone off, I'm telling you. And I don't care about the cats on YouTube. I don't want to see it. We're here to talk and visit. And that's a good gumbo. Shut up and eat, you know, that kind of thing.
That's right.
But don't we have to make these decisions? Don't allow the bombardment. Pick your fight, but don't allow it.
We make the case in the book that leaders define culture, and what you just did is you define the culture. And we describe culture like a greenhouse. And what you're doing is you want plants to thrive. So you're then getting to the place where you're actually knowing people so well that you can bring the right support and right challenge to them to help them thrive. And that's ultimately the goal in all of this, that I would know people so well and they would know that I'm for them, that I would provide the right support and challenge in the right context at the right time. And I get to master that. And in time, that mastery then leads to people trusting me and building relational trust. Therefore, they'll let me push them at levels that they never thought possible. And that's the fun part with our business now.
What you just said.
Yep.
Got it. Okay, yep. Keep going. I'm sorry.
No. It's really fun because I'm now at a place and we've got teams that are working in about 20 countries. And we've got people, but we're for each other. But then, you know, I'll often say, hey, you know I'm for you, right? Which is kind of a clue that, and if they say, it doesn't feel like it, then I go, I have some work to do. If they say, yeah, I totally go, well, then I'm going to give a little challenge here. I really think I'm going to call you up. I'm not going to call you out. And I've learned that years ago. Calling people up is, this is who I see you to be. Why are you down here? Because when I call someone out, it feels like judgment, and all of a sudden their walls of self-preservation go up. When they know I'm for them,
it's
and
combative.
I'm calling
them I mean,
up,
now you've entered into a combative relationship, however
right.
temporary that moment is. I mean, you call me
well,
out,
call,
and I'm going to go back into defensive mode, and we're going to have a chat.
That's right.
It's not going to be pretty.
But if I call you up and go, no, this is who you are, then I'm honoring who
right.
I see you to be. Then I'm asking, what's going on? Why the gap? Now you can explain, well, I just had, now I can be a part of helping you get to the next level. And so that's like a skill set. And it's like, I've been called a lot, a people whisperer. And it's like, well, I'm just learning people and I'm so for them and I want what's best for them. So there's trust. And that's just a key component for anyone listening.
Well, and to have these conversations, you have to have that trust level. I mean, a conversation
Absolutely.
Isn't just you going, hey, Bob, come on in the office. I want to talk to you. Bob is already mm-hmm. needing to run to the bathroom to check if he peed himself a bit, right?
That's right.
Yep. So, I know that's a little crude, but that's what comes to mind. So how would you rephrase that if you need Bob to come in to talk him up? How would you start that conversation?
So, well, one, it starts with the time that we've worked together. Does he know I'm for them? So does Bob know that I'm for him or not? That's a key. So I asked that, hey, Bob, are there some things that, you know what our culture's like, you know what we're about. Do you know I'm for you? Because I really want to help you get to the next level. And if he doesn't feel, or if I sense that he doesn't feel freedom to do that, then I know I've not provided enough support. So then I then go into, okay, so what does support look like for you? How can I help you, resource you, equip you? How do I help you in your job, in your role? So then that's the dialogue we have. Then in time, I can then go, well, here are my expectations. I want to make sure that we hit A, B, and C. And so it's this balance, a calibration between support and challenge. But I have to lead with support. first. If I leave a challenge first, it usually doesn't work. So it's this combination. Well, sometimes any people that we're working with, they need more challenge. And sometimes they need, you know, way more support than we've given before. So it's just knowing when. And that is the key to being a leader people want to follow.
And that was going to lead me to my next question. You said something about sensing, which, yeah, if, and that goes back, I think, to emotional IQ. You have to be able to really kind of sense and read and be intuitive about what people are saying, what they're not saying, what their body language is doing. You have to really pay attention and be present. You can't be looking at your day minder and going, okay, Bob, this has been great, but, you know, we'll take this up at another time. Do you have any examples that you can share that, you know, happened in real life in your company?
Yeah, so, yes, I do. I have a young film guy, Jake, who's come and been a part of our team for Giant TV as we launch certain things. And I'm realizing, like, I have to start all over because I have expectations for him. Well, he was an intern, so he knows us. So I had to go, first and foremost, what is his personality and wiring? What's mine? So I understood that. That's really helpful. It's almost like having a card on a plant. Here's how much water they need. Here's how much sunlight they need. So once I've done that, then I establish trust. And I basically laid the rules out going, hey, Jake, I want the best for us as a company, but I want the best for you. And here's some expectations that I have. And I want to have a system of checking in. But I found that because I've been launching the book and so busy and I travel a lot, that I really needed this. He needed a little bit more time than I was giving. So I had informal time was happening, but not the formal time that he needed. So I realized to help him go even further that I'm going to have to shift a little bit of how I lead him differently than I would maybe some other employees. So it's really, it becomes almost a game to figure people out and figure out what motivates them and makes them tick. Because I treat all people the same. I'm only going to get about 30% the results I want. But if I learn other people, then and I learn how to modify the formal and informal time, that I've just noticed he's blooming way more than he was at the beginning.
So when you say formal, are you setting up like weekly chats with him? What does that look like?
Yeah. So for me, that meant that we have we actually use the sprint system, like the Scrum model. So we do daily stand-ups. And then I have a formal every couple of week time with them that goes deeper than those little stand-up meetings. And so I was having a lot of informal and a lot of stand-up meetings, but I wasn't having the time they needed to, like, really process, really talk, really think. And, you know, that's the hard part with leaders, because most leaders are like, man, that's just a lot of drama. Actually, if a person is an asset, the more engaged they are, the more effective they'll become. Well, if you're going to have people on the team, don't you want them to be as effective as possible? Yes. Well, that sometimes that means that this plant needs more water than this cactus in the corner. Okay, but they all play a different role. And so that was my reality, is that every plant needs different water.
No kidding. So with this young man, I'm guessing that eventually he's going to feel confident enough, and you are as well, that you can scale back on these meetings, still have them, but maybe not at the level
That's
and
right.
the frequency that you are now. So this is not a lifelong thing.
No, that's right.
Good.
But it's this process of getting him from, you know, there was the first few weeks of unconscious incompetence. He didn't know, he was clueless and he didn't know it. Then he hit unconsciously clueless. And instead of him faking it to make it, we say, we want you to own it and we want to deal with it. Because if you don't, there's a pit of despair that employees can get into. And they fall down in this pit of despair and they might find two or three other employees down there with them. And we talk about this in the book, in the 100X Leader. So the whole idea is we've got to be the ladder or keep them from going in. And to keep them from going into the pit of despair, they need vision, they need encouragement, and they need time. And so those are the three components that I'm try to bring to people on a consistent basis.
Now, why? I know you work with a lot of companies, not a lot of business people. Do you ever get somebody looking at you and kind of rolling their eyes and going, that's a lot of work. I don't know if I can commit to that. And if you do, how do you respond to that? Kind of like what you just did, I would think.
Yeah, it's all the time. It's like, okay, so you have, back to the puppy illustration. So you have a dog. What's it like when they're not trained? You know, that how's that working for you? And so a lot of times we'll get people, and that's the, I'll ask that question. How's that working for you? Meaning the reason we're there is because they have people problems. And I'm like, all right, so you have people problems. That's why we're here in the first place. So you're moving from people as a liability to people as an asset. You're moving from compliance to engagement. So the leaders define culture, and if the team is not doing what you want or the people aren't doing what you want, then it's direct correlation of the leader. And so you've allowed compliance, or you've force them into compliance. Well, how do you get them to engagement? And that is why most people don't do it, because that means you got to get out of your tent and climb. You can't just set at base camp. And that's why most people don't do it. It's hard.
Yeah, I can see that it is. I've experienced the same with my own team. You know, some require a lot more, I wouldn't call it hand-holding, but training and encouragement. Sometimes it feels like hand-holding. Sometimes I just want to go, oh, my gosh, really, you didn't get this the first four times, but they got it the fifth. So yeah, we got there eventually. And maybe it was me not explaining at a level that they understood. You know, you have to step back and go, you know, maybe it's not them, it's me. You know, maybe I'm not using the language or, you know, giving them the proper tools that they can follow along. Some people learn by reading. Some people learn by listening. Don't give me a YouTube video. I don't want it. I don't want to do that. So I think we have to figure out how they learn. But what I don't understand, Jeremy, is why, as a country, I think the whole world really, it took us so long to understand that workplace culture is what you make it. You can't just boss people around and expect them to go, yes, sir, boss, got it. I mean, that used to work in the industrialized age, I guess. It sure doesn't work anymore. But people still try to do it, and I don't get that.
Absolutely. No. No, absolutely. And so what we're conveying here is actually a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of liberating people, like going, okay, what does it look like? Well, that means I have to be healthy, and I have to be acclimated. And so that ultimately is the goal of getting people to become so healthy that they want to get to the next level. And then when they do, then they learn how to take other people up with them.
Excellent. Listen, we are just about out of time, and I have to tell you, normally I have I hit a button and I have an outro that plays. I'm completely frozen here. I'm working blind, so you know, if I'm not making much sense, I can't even read my notes. But I think we're doing okay here. So my question for you now is, where can people find you? I've got the book, and I strongly recommend that anybody listening get a hold of this book. Where can they find you on the internet, and where can they find the book? And you've got a couple of others, too, so mention those, if you will.
Yeah. This is my fourth book, and so published book, and then fifth overall. But The 100X Leader is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any place that has books. You know, the airport is about to come out, the airports. But The 100X Leader, and then we've got The Five Voices, which is a really well-known book, and The Five Gears on Emotional Intelligence. And so those books are available as well as Making Your Leadership Come Alive, all on Amazon and such. Then Giant TV is basically, it is an $8.99 a month Netflix for leaders type of platform that helps with coaching your people. It's multiplication content that scales, and then there's a community component to it. And so that's giant.tv. And if you wanted it for free for 30 days to check it out, it's giant.tv/JK, and you can try it out and see what you think. And we're about to add a live component to it. So there's a lot of neat things we're doing with that. And so the idea is we use our content to help people scale healthy leaders.
I am going to be joining. I looked at that yesterday and went, I'm paying for Acorn TV. I'm paying for BritBox. I don't have Netflix. I don't really care for Netflix. Don't have cable. I need to add that to, you know, the things that I'm willing to watch. So you're going to have a client, customer, consumer, whatever you want to call me.
Well, it's $8.99 for an individual, but for teams, we do enterprise pricing. It's really inexpensive. And then what we do is we train internal Sherpas on our system, and they become the consultants inside. And we train internal team members, and it's very inexpensive. And then they get trained and certified, and then they create the system for multiplication inside their company. And it's called the 100X system. So that's all at giantworldwide.com. And so, but sure, appreciate you. Thank you for doing what you do, and I hope this was encouraging and helpful for those listening.
Oh, I was taking notes like a crazy person. Not in the book. I'm not scribbling in the book, but I've got a big notepad just full of notes. Well, listen, Jeremy, thank you so much for being with us. I mean, you gave me a lot of ideas, and I know you gave the audience the same. And for anybody who is listening, before we shut off, look for us in iTunes. Just go to iTunes or Google Play, wherever you consume your business podcast, and look for Your Partner in Success Radio. Jeremy, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.